Today on Brave, an important message from Pastor Jeff Schwarzentraub.
What I'd like to do this morning is point out characteristics that the children of the devil are known by and that the children of God are known by. And we'll go through all the verses, but I'm going to jump around just a little bit this morning. And I'll tell you, it's important that you have your Bible this morning, either to write down verses or to jump to them so you can follow along with me, because I want to build a case for what John is saying.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Whether it's mannerisms, interests, or looks, most sons and daughters take on certain aspects of those who raised them. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff teaches that in a spiritual sense, the same case can be made. When you're being led by God or perhaps something else, your life will show it. Pastor Jeff has titled this message, Your Daddy is Obvious. And it's the next part of our series in the book of 1 John called Better Together. Now, if you're joining us late in this series, you can catch up after today's program at bravemedia.online. All right, with that said, let's get started with today's message from Pastor Jeff titled, Your Daddy is Obvious.
Lord, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise for who you are. And Lord, as we look into your word this morning, Lord, I pray that you would speak directly to each and every one of us. Lord, that we'd have a clear picture of what it looks like to be a child of yours, that we would understand who we are in you. And Lord, that you would help us see how to live out what that looks like for your glory and for your great name. And so, Lord, for what you're about to do, our prayer is speak, Lord, for we want to hear you. And now, God, we're ready to hear, and all of God's people who are ready to receive his word, believe it, and put it into practice, agreed with me by very loudly saying the word, amen, amen. I'd invite you this morning to open up your Bible to 1 John, towards the back of your Bible, chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3. We're going to begin in verse 11 this morning. And as you see this laid out, there's a lot of things going on in our culture right now where you'll see these commercials for DNA testing, like at Ancestry.com or something, where the pull is, if I can just know who my family is and who I belong to or where I came from, I'll have a better idea as to why I am the way that I am. When it comes to our spiritual life, nothing can be further from the truth. Who our parents are have great influence into who we are. I used to have fun when I was a youth pastor, when I would be with the students that I ministered to. It was always easy for me, as I had met the students, to pick out who their parents were. I mean, by the time I met their parents and I would listen to their parents for a little bit, I'm like, of course he's your son. Of course she's your daughter. They talk and think just like you, for better or for worse, because parents have such an influence on their children. When it comes to who we are spiritually, our Father makes a difference as to who we are. If we're children of our Father God, or if we're children of the devil and he's our Father. And so what John is going to spell out in this section of Scripture, as we look into it, as we kind of looked at this family photo album, is characteristics of what children of the devil look like or what children of God look like. I've titled this, Your Daddy is Obvious. Because it's pretty obvious, based upon what you believe, who your father is spiritually. So with your Bible open, I'd encourage you to open up to 1 John chapter 3. Actually, let's start in verse 10 this morning, just to give us a little backdrop. It's where we finished last week. Here's what John says. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and with truth. And here is John is writing to us. Here's what he's saying. He's saying it's pretty obvious who your father is. And so what I'd like to do this morning is point out characteristics that the children of the devil are known by and that the children of God are known by. And we'll go through all the verses, but I'm going to jump around just a little bit this morning. And I'll tell you, it's important that you have your Bible this morning, either to write down verses or to jump to them so you can follow along with me, because I want to build a case for what John is saying. And the first thing he's saying is that children of the devil are known by murder and hatred of believers. Okay, that's a quality characteristic of children of the devil, of murder and hatred of believers. Notice back in verse 10, he says, by this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who practices righteousness, does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. In other words, before he sets all this up, he's saying anyone who does not practice righteousness, if the righteousness of Christ is not in you, that's being fleshed out in your life, or you don't have love for other Christians, it's obvious that you're not of God. And then he goes on to say, because if you're of God, in verse 10, he said, or verse 11, for this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We'll come back to that. But he says in verse 10, not as Cain, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. So Cain and Abel were the first children of Adam and Eve, and Cain ended up killing his brother. And why? Because Abel's deeds were righteous and Cain's were not. It's that simple. Cain hated his brother because Abel was righteous and Cain wasn't. It's that simple. Non-believers have murderous thoughts in their hearts for Christians because Christians are righteous and they're evil. That's fact. It's always been that way from the beginning. It will always be that way. And I will spell that out for you so that you can see it this morning. Both Cain and Abel brought God a sacrifice. Cain brought some of the fruits of the ground that he presented to the Lord. Abel brought like the fatlings and the best portions of his meat to the Lord. And God accepted Abel's sacrifice, but Cain's he rejected. Now, we don't totally know why, but in further reading through biblical revelation, here's what we understand about offerings to God. What God cares about is generosity from the heart. God cares that we want to give to him. God loves a cheerful giver. That's why we clap for the offering at our church. So clearly, whatever Cain was offering God, it was his scraps. Perhaps Cain was just walking around like, here's some fruit. You can have that, right? Whereas Abel clearly thought about, what can I sacrifice to God to show him that I love him? So because Abel loved God and because Cain didn't, Cain was angry at Abel. And God tells him, why are you angry? He goes, sin is at your doorstep and it desires to have you, but you must master it. In other words, he says, it's wanting to overtake you. Your hatred is wanting to overtake you, but you must master it. And in the very next few verses, what do we see? Cain waits for his brother in a field and he slays him. He kills his own brother. And then God asks him, hey, where's your brother? And he's like, am I my brother's keeper? And he's like, hey, his blood from the ground is calling out to me. I saw what you did. Wicked people, people that don't have a relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ, and that's how I'm defining wickedness, because we live in a society that behavior is wicked. I'm talking about spiritually. If you don't have a relationship with Christ, you're referred to in the Bible as wicked because you have a different father, and your father is the devil, and he's been a murderer from the beginning of time. That's what he's always done. And we see this all throughout the Bible. Let's think about the life of Jesus. Remember the life of Jesus? Jesus goes back to his hometown very early in his ministry in Luke chapter 4, preaches his first sermon in his hometown, right? You would think these are the people that are going to really accept who he is. And he starts preaching that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach to the gospel to the poor. He sent me to proclaim the release to the captives and so on and so forth. And he sits down and he says, today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And through some other dialogues, he's basically claiming that he's God. And notice what happens in Luke chapter 4 and verse 29. After one sermon, Jesus preaches in his hometown of Nazareth to all the people that know him. It says this, and they got up and drove him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill on which their city had been built in order to throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went on his way. Jesus preaches one sermon, claims that he's God, and what are they ready to do? Let's throw him off the cliff. One message claiming that he was the Christ, they wanted to kill him. Did this stop? No. If you write down these verses, I'm going to go through them fast. In John chapter 5 and verse 18, here's what we see. Jesus heals a man at the pool of Bethesda, but he healed on the Sabbath. The Sabbath was to be the day of rest. Jesus healed on the Sabbath. And in John 5 and verse 15, the man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. And you would think that the Jews would be like, that's awesome. This guy's been sick his whole life. Jesus tells him to take up his pallet and walk. The guy takes up his pallet and walk. But they're not happy the guy's healed. They're upset. Why? For this reason, the Jews were persecuting Jesus because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. In other words, we're not happy you healed the guy. You healed him on the wrong day. Right? That was terrible that you did that. You broke the law. Right? Because what? They didn't care about people. They were caring about their man-made centered rules. But Jesus answered them, my Father is working until now, and I myself is working. Notice John 5:18. For this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him. Notice that. They're trying to kill him because he was not only breaking the Sabbath, but also calling God his own Father, making himself equal to God. So now they want to kill him, not because he just healed the guy, but he's calling himself God, which he was and he is. So Jesus' ministry, his entire life, he was a dead man walking. That's why he stays out of Jerusalem pretty much until the last week of his life, because he knows when he goes there, he's going to be killed. He tells his disciples before he goes to Jerusalem, I'm going to be handed over to the chief priests and rulers of the synagogue. They're going to beat me. They're going to crucify me. But don't worry, I'll rise from the dead. And that's when the disciples, especially Peter, start pulling him aside and say, no, Lord, never. We don't want you to die. Jesus is like, no, it has to be this way. Jesus was a dead man walking. They wanted to kill him all the time. Why? Because he was the Christ. Because he was God. And the world hates God. Make no mistake about it. Now, people will say, I don't hate God. God's great. No, your made-up image of who you think God is great. But if I were to stand here and say there's one God made of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ is the second person of the Trinity, came to this world, lived the perfect life, honored his Father, died in glory, rose from the dead, and is the way, the truth, and the life, he's the only way, and that all people everywhere must turn to God and trust in him alone for the forgiveness of their sins, or you do not have a relationship with God. The world doesn't cheer that message. The world starts asking, well, what about all the Jews and what about all the Muslims and what about all the Hindus? Hey, they can have relationship with God too through the very same person of Jesus Christ because he came for everybody. But that message to a world that hates God is hostile, and the world wants to put that message down. And murdering's one way they want to do that. I mean, even Jesus, when he rolls into Jerusalem, what do we see? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, glory to God in the highest. 1 week later, what are those same people yelling? Crucify him, kill him, right? That was Jesus' ministry his whole time. Then we would say, well, that was Jesus, and then he died and rose and went to heaven, and what about the rest of people? Do we see it with the apostles? We certainly do. I mean, we could roll throughout the entire book of Acts and see how the same thing played out in the life of all of the apostles. I'll just pick a few this morning. I mean, Peter and John were arrested. They were told not to speak in the name of Jesus anymore. In Acts chapter 5, all the apostles got arrested. And Gamaliel, one of the leaders of the synagogue, gave them counsel and said, hey, guys, if this is of God, you can't stop it. But if it's not of God, it'll die out anyway. So I just leave these guys alone. And in Acts 5, chapter 40, it says, they took his advice, and after calling the apostles in, they flogged them and ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and then released them. So what do? They beat him. Why? Because they said Jesus Christ is Lord. So they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. That's what we see all throughout the scriptures. We see it all over the book of Acts. Remember the story of Stephen? He got to preach one message. And what he got to preach is to the synagogue leaders, and he told them, went through the entire Israel history and all of Acts chapter 7, and then told them, you stiff-necked people, Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior who you murdered and crucified, and his blood's on your head. And so what do? They take him and they stone him. And as they're stoning him, he looks up into heaven saying, Lord, receive my spirit. Right? Remember what happened next? In Acts chapter 8, verse 1, we find out who was there. There was this guy named Saul of Tarsus who became the Apostle Paul. It says Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death. Paul gave approval to his death. And in Acts 9, chapter 1, nothing's changed. It says, now Saul was still breathing threats and what? Murder against the disciples of the Lord and went to the high priest. What's going on? People that hate the resurrected Jesus Christ have murder in their hearts. And the reason they have murder in their hearts is because that's what their father wants. Make no mistake about it. The devil is real. You have an enemy. And his job in John 10 says he comes to do three things. Steal, what? Kill and destroy. Some people ask me as a pastor sometimes, should we like pray for the devil? Like maybe be, you know, maybe he'll come. No, you're not praying for the person that wants you dead. He wants you dead. He's never going to repent. He's never going to turn to Christ. He does not have that opportunity. His whole mission is to steal from you, kill your life, and to take away from you, to destroy everything. That's his mission on your life. But we serve one greater. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But children of the devil are obvious. That's why the Bible says anyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. I mean, some people, I'll hear people say this, and be careful when you say this. I'm just looking forward to the day that, you know, persecution's coming, and when it comes, we'll see who the real Christians are. You know, then that'll be a great day. It won't be a great day, right? And the fact is, if you're living out your Christianity right now, you will be persecuted. I mean, the fact is, if you've come to Christ and you go public with what you say you believe here, there will be people that have murderous thoughts towards you. They want to stop what you have. Right? That's the devil. And why? Because Jesus says that's his nature. I know I'm skipping around a lot, but I'm building a case for this. In John chapter 8 and verse 44, Jesus talks about who this devil is. And in John 8, 44, he speaks and he says this. He tells the Pharisees, you are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. Notice what he says about him. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. He's been a what from the beginning? A murderer. What did he tell Eve? God says, if we eat of the fruit, we'll die. What does he say? You won't die. You will not die. Why? Because he's a liar. Did they die? They're not here today. They're dead. Right? Because they ate the fruit. He's a murderer. God's intention was not for humankind to die. God's intention was that we would live forever in relationship with him. We sinned because Satan tricked us, because he's a murderer. That's why God the Father sent his son, Jesus Christ, to restore what the enemy had taken away. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Amen? That's who our God is. The devil's a murderer from the beginning, right? When you have murderous thoughts towards people because of their righteousness, that's the heart of Satan. It's the heart of who he is. And what we see in the Apostle Paul's life, and I will not read through this, but you can write these verses down, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 31, you'll see this one that was breathing out murderous threats and what he ended up going through in results of his conversion. Once the Apostle Paul was converted, was he persecuted? Yeah. I mean, he was stoned. He was left for dead. He was beat. He was shipwrecked. He had a heart for the church. The church oftentimes didn't like him. People outside the church didn't like him. There was no safe place for him to be. I think jail for the Apostle Paul was God's gift to him for a period of time. And yet he still had love for God and love for people no matter where he was. I mean, the very one that was breathing out murderous threats was now having them breathed against him to the point where he said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, even better, because that's the goal of my faith, right? Murder's on the heart of Satan. If Satan had his desire, every Christian that lived, he would just kill. That's his desire. But notice this. It still happens today. It still happens today. I'm going to read you some statistics. I don't normally do that, but I think they're important for this because some people are listening saying, Jeff, that's way back when. That's 2,000 years ago. It's not like that today. I mean, Pastor Jeff, you're not going to jail today for preaching this message. You're not going to get arrested today for preaching this message. You're not going to get persecuted today for preaching this message. And I would say to you, you're probably right, but the day's coming. We live in an age where if you stand up for anything you believe in, it's good, except to say that Jesus Christ is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And when people say, oh, tolerance, tolerance, the only thing they don't tolerate is the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no mistake about it, right? So keep this in mind when you hear these statistics. In 2016, this is CNN of all places. CNN said that Christian persecution had reached a record high. 2017, Newsweek published an article that said, Christian persecution and genocide is worse than at any time in history. But statistics for people that study this stuff, like the Center for the Study of Global Christianity, said this: between 2005 and between 2015, 900,000 Christians were martyred for their faith. That's 90,000 a year. This year, they say they expect 100,000 people to be martyred for their faith because they believe in Jesus Christ. That's more people than will fill Broncos Stadium. That means during this message that there are 10 people who will be murdered because of their faith in Jesus Christ. That's a lot of people. And for what reason? Because they're righteous and the world is evil, and that's it. Does it still happen today? Yes. Will it continue? Yes, until Jesus gets back and rights all the wrongs. That's what happens, right? Cain started it, but this continues on. I'm back in 1 John chapter 3 now, verse 13. That's why he says, "Do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you." In other words, hey, church, wake up. Wake up. It means this. If you're a Christian, sometimes our expectation is that everybody will like us. Some of you have been converted know that that's just not true. I mean, some of you that have been converted and used to hang out with this group of people and they were your buddies, they were your best friends, and now you're starting to walk with Jesus and they don't like the new you as much as you thought they would like the new you. Some of you, it's been with your family. Some of you, it's been with your friends. Some of you, it's been with your coworkers. But you start walking out this Jesus in you and all of a sudden people that you thought liked you, they don't like that you've been changed by Jesus Christ. You've been addicted to drugs. You've been trying to get off drugs. Man, you've been freed from drugs. You're living for Christ. You want to tell your friends that they can be freed from drugs and live for Christ. And instead what? They're mad at you for living free in Christ, and they would prefer that you came back and did drugs with them. Why? Because they don't love you and they don't love Jesus because they don't know Jesus. That's just a fact. And we don't teach this enough in church. We think that why can't everybody just get along? We could if everybody loved Jesus. But everybody doesn't love Jesus, right? Notice verse 15. I'm skipping a verse. We'll come back to it. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So some of you would say, well, you know, I haven't really had murderous thought towards other Christians, but I hate them. It's the same thing. I wouldn't act on it, but I can't stand those people. They're so fundamental. They think they're the only way. Are their minds just warped? Have they been, I hate those people. That's the heart of Satan. That is murder. Hate and murder are one and the same, right? That's what Jesus came and told people. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus mentioned in Matthew chapter 5, what murder looked like, because we have this picture that it's just actually killing someone. Jesus said in Matthew 5:21, you've heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court, and everyone who says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court, and whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Right? Hatred, murder, they're of the enemy.
You're listening to Brave and the Bible Teaching Ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub. Today's message is titled, Your Daddy is Obvious. It's part of our current series, Better Together. In case you missed any earlier parts of this study, visit us at bravemedia.online to listen when you can. While it may not seem obvious at first, it's a bona fide truth. When you dedicate your life to Christ, the world will hate you. It may be tempting to believe the world has gotten over its history of religious persecution, but the facts are clear. As Pastor Jeff explained, Christians are facing rejection and death all across the globe, simply for living by the loving example of Jesus Christ. It's a sobering truth, and a great reminder that our hope is found only in Jesus Christ. If you'd like to start connecting with other Christ followers who share this hope and who actively pursue God's will here on earth, well, we want to invite you to join us for weekend services here at Brave Church. You can visit in person at either of our two campuses in Englewood or Westminster. And if you're listening from out of town or out of state, we're holding the door open for you through our live stream. Learn more at bravemedia.online. Go to the bottom of our homepage and click the Brave Church button for more details and directions. In the meantime, if you have any questions or comments for Pastor Jeff, or you'd like to share how this program has played a part in your own spiritual journey, email us your story anytime at hello@bravechurch.co. If you'd rather send a letter in the mail, you can do that too. Address the envelope to Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. That brings us to the end of our program and our week. I'm your host, Bill Carl, inviting you to join us next Monday for part two of today's message, Daddy is Obvious. We're learning how to live the Christian life better together next time. here on Brave with Jeff Swarzentraw. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.